Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this gathering tonight. Whether we're here in person or online, may your Holy Spirit be with us as we consider your word of promise for our lives and for our future. And Lord, as we once again anchor our hopes on that promise, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is in his name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Originally, I was going to entitle this sermon, WDWDWWW. What do we do while we wait? But instead, I thought that might be a little cumbersome, perhaps a little complicated to follow. So I was going to enlist the help of the late singer-songwriter and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, Tom Petty, who wrote, "The waiting is the hardest part. Every day, you get one more card. You take it on faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part." Actually, with Tom Petty singing, it would sound something more like this. "The waiting is the hardest part. Every day you get one more card. You take it on faith, you take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part." What do you think, Bobby Cody? Am I ready? Am I ready for the worship team? And so the title of our message is "The Waiting is the Hardest Part," or WDWDWWW. We don't like to wait, do we? For this recent surge in COVID-19 to curb, for the results of the presidential election, even in the morning in line at Tim Hortons waiting for our coffee, for the dinner to be ready after a long day of work, for those children and babies to just go to bed finally, for the car ride to be over, or to unwrap those presents that I've started to gather under the Christmas tree. We don't like to wait, but waiting is a part of life. Back in the day, I waited 3 hours and sprinted 800 yards to get prime seats in the lawn section for an Aerosmith concert in St. Louis, Missouri. Kiss was playing that night too. It was a concert of epic proportions. The last time my wife waited significantly was on the phone for 45 minutes for a doctor's office that never picked up the call. Thankfully, it wasn't a life or death situation, and we still have all 5 of our children, at least I think so, and so all was well. Researchers inform us that we can actually spend 3 years of our lives, 3 years out of our lifetime, waiting for something. But waiting is not just a part of our ordinary lives, it's a part of our spiritual lives as well. And that's what we dedicate part of the month of December to waiting. We call it the season of Advent. And in Advent, we do 2 things. First, we plan and prepare for our celebration of Christmas, for the commemoration of when Jesus entered into time, space, and history as a baby born in Bethlehem. This second person of the Trinity, this promised Savior from the Old Testament, actually is born as a human baby to the Virgin Mary in that little town of Bethlehem. And we celebrate Jesus' birth as that promised Savior, that Savior from our sins. The other thing that we do in the month of December, in this season of Advent, is we also anticipate. We anticipate the second coming of Christ into the world. That time when it's right and God fulfills his promises to all people, and Christ returns and gathers his people into his everlasting kingdom. He comes back in majesty and victory, and he comes to take his people home. And we're waiting for that time, but we prepare as we wait. So WDWDWWW, what do we do while we wait? Well, I'm glad you asked, because our epistle reading for this evening from 2 Peter has some information for us to consider on what we do while we wait. Now, the New Testament book of 2 Peter actually comes after the book of 1 Peter. I'm surprised you didn't know that. But as your pastor, it's my job to keep you in the know. So you are welcome. It goes 1 Peter, then 2 Peter. And 2 Peter responds to some interesting things that are going on in Peter's day and time. Because the idea was, in Peter's time, that Christ was going to return, but he was going to return sooner rather than later. Many people believed at Peter's time that Jesus would return in a few months, in a few years, certainly within their own lifetime. So they were expecting Jesus to return, for God to make good on his promises, kind of right here and right now. But there were doubters, and there were haters. And these false teachers were trying to convince the people that we've waited long enough. If God was going to make good on his promises to his people through Jesus and Christ was going to return, he would have done so already. So, instead of following the Lord, instead of trusting his promises, instead of considering God's commands for our lives and adapting and adjusting our behavior, we're going to do something different. We're going to forget character. We're going to neglect our convictions. And we're going to do what we want to do, regardless of the consequences. That was the message of the false teachers of Peter's day. And that's in part why he's writing this second letter, to encourage people to keep the faith and for them to stay on track and for them to continue to wait and prepare for Christ's second coming. In response to this false teaching, Peter urges his readers to remember that the Lord is not bound by human time like we are, nor is he confused about an eternal time frame like we can be. For God, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. That's something that is familiar to God, but a little foreign to us. We would not make those kinds of statements concerning time. And I find it fascinating that we actually believe in an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. And yet, we try to bind him according to our own human limitations. And not only that, but we give God a hard time when he does not respond to our prayers in a favorable way according to our human time frame. And especially our personal and self-centered preconceived time frame. Think about your own internal conversations with God, perhaps from this past season, even perhaps from this past week. When the pain and problems persist in your life, when COVID-19 has yet to be curbed, when you are praying to God, even pleading with him, and yet he does not answer your prayers. What do we do? What do you do? Sometimes we object, don't we? God, if you're good, God, if you're loving, God, if you care about me like you say you do in your word, why won't you show up? Why won't you do something about my situation and circumstance? Why won't you answer my prayer in my way, in my time? God, don't you know? God, don't you care? God, can't you see what's going on down here? We object to our Lord, don't we? And then not only do we object, but then we make our case. After all, God, I worship. I come to Saturday night service when the preacher's just kind of figuring out what he's going to say. He's not quite polished yet. Lord, I not only worship, but I study your word. I've got the Bible app on my smartphone. I'm knocking out those daily devotions. God, I not only worship and serve or study, but I also serve. I put in my time and energy and effort for the sake of your kingdom. I help out at my church. I also help out in the community. Lord, not only that, but I also pray for other people. I pray for my Facebook friends. I even text my friends the prayer emoji. Lord, I'm doing it. What do I get in return for my spiritual investment toward you? We object, and then we make our case to God. But we would be wise to pause for a moment when we sense that we are having this kind of contentious conversation with our Lord. Not because it's dishonest, but because of where it can lead, which is actually to a place of doubt and disbelief. As we demand goods and services from our Lord in response to our stellar spiritual performance. Or so we think. Thanks be to God that when we are impatient with Him, that He is still patient with us. As Peter points out in his second letter, the Lord is not slow in fulfilling His promises, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you. Thanks be to God that when we're tempted to doubt and hate while we wait, that He is still patient with us. He's not only patient with us, but He's faithful to us. Peter also positions our waiting with an assignment for us to consider. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, part B. The Lord does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Repentance? I thought this was supposed to be good news, Pastor Brad, and it is. But have you ever considered repentance to be good news? Perhaps we should. Because according to the plans and promises of God for us through Christ, repentance means forgiveness. If we repent of our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to you and to me from His Word. And forgiveness means reconciliation between us and God the Father. Reconciliation means a restoration of place and position before the Lord. God will be our God. We will be His people. And restoration means the hope of heaven is ours, all made possible through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Repentance is a roadmap to heaven. One that Jesus made possible for you and for me. In other words, because God is patient with us, even during our impatient demands of Him, He has promised an eternity spent with Him and with His redeemed people. Interestingly enough, in a place where the time sense will be different. How do you chart eternity with a clock? Peter adds, according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. A place and position where God will be our God, where we will be His people. A place where He will wipe every tear from our eyes, for the old order of things will have passed away. So while waiting might be the hardest part for us, maybe by the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through the power and promise of God's Word, we can start to view a delay in God's answer to our prayers as His loving patience rather than His willful neglect. And not only that, but we can also view the delay in Christ's return as evidence of God's steadfast love for His people, allowing more people time to come to repentance and receive saving faith in Him rather than God's impending judgment for those with whom He's displeased. Professor Curtis Giese of Concordia University, Texas, reflects that our waiting is actually God's merciful and intentional pause before the Lord's second coming for the sake of saving as many people as possible. This is God's plan to allow more people the opportunity to place their trust in Jesus, to be saved from their sins, and to spend eternity with Him. Consider this passage from Psalm 9. But the Lord reigns forever, executing judgment from His throne. He will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know Your name trust in You, for You, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for You. Did you catch that? God is patient with you. God is patient with His people. He will not abandon those who search for Him. He will take as much time as He wants to save as many souls as possible, as many as He desires. So WDWDWW, what do we do while we wait? Well, we take a chord from Tom Petty and realize that sometimes, yes, the waiting is the hardest part. It's tough for us to wait. It's tough for others to wait. And therefore, empowered by the promises of our Lord in His Word and realizing His patience for us, maybe, just maybe, we can be patient with each other. And not only that, but maybe we can also be patient with the Lord. Because we've not only taken a cue or a chord from Tom Petty, but we've also taken a cue from Christ and realized that He's willing to wait for us. And He has. So we can wait on God and wait for each other. So when others scoff as we wait for God to make good on His promises, or when we become disappointed in God because He has not answered our prayers in the way that we want them answered and in the time frame that it is appropriate for us, please remember the powerful promises of God from the pen of Peter and repent, receive, and respond to the patience of God shown to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. But wait, there's more. Just when you thought I was wrapping up the message, he says, wait. In a sermon on waiting, this guy is asking me to wait just a little bit longer. Yes, I am. And you know why? Because it's Advent. Because we prepare for Christmas. Because it's Advent and we are waiting for the second coming of Christ. Because it's Advent. And in this season, as we prepare to celebrate the reason for the hope that we have a profound privilege and opportunity as God's people, especially God's people of St. Lawrence Lutheran Church and School in Frankenmuth, Michigan. And you know what that is? That's celebrating Christmas like never before. That's becoming people of peace and hope and love and joy before a non-believing world populated by certain false teachers who would like to scoff, who would like to doubt, who would like to hate, who would like to make more and more people miserable because of this coronavirus crisis. And we have an opportunity to witness to them. We have a privilege to show up and to share with others the reason for the hope that we have in our hearts this holiday season. And we can wait with joy on our faces, with joy-filled lives, because we have been given Jesus. Friends, no one else on the planet should celebrate Christmas better than we do here in this time, here in this place. We are the Christmas capital of Michigan, are we not? Can I get a witness from the winter wonderland that's known as St. Lawrence Lutheran Church and School in Frankenmuth, Michigan? Amen. We should bring the Christmas this holiday season. I know gatherings will be different. I know the numbers will be different. I know the family arrangements and the get-togethers won't be the same. But that doesn't mean that God has changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that great news, we can continue to celebrate, and we can celebrate like never before. So yes, please put up the decorations. Yes, please get your tree up if you haven't. Yes, please send cards and greetings. And yes, please purchase presents for your children or grandchildren and share the joy of Jesus with each other and continue to show this world just how beautiful it is to live with Him. Will you pray with me, please? Our gracious Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word of promise for our lives. We're so thankful, Lord, that this word encourages us to be patient with you, to be patient with others, because you, Lord, are full of steadfast love and patience for your people. We thank you for that patience that you've shown to us through the person and work of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would empower us and encourage us, even during these difficult days and times, to continue to celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus. Lord, prepare our hearts, our minds, our lives accordingly so that we can make our gatherings meaningful and memorable, whether in person, whether online, whether across the distance. No matter what, Lord, may we share the joy that is ours because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.